You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 358, Dragonforge & Associates Season 5, Episode 2, recorded May 2021, posted August 2022. Charm the Chicken.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a Dungeon Master. Today we are continuing the adventure of Dragonforge and Associates in their fourth adventure, Rescuing Rutherford. Allow me to introduce our players. They will introduce their characters, and then we will jump in to the action so far. First up, it's Steve Lutz. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Tony. Yes, here I am, and I am playing Olestrin Quiverbottom, a guy who shoots things with arrows.
It's true. Next up, it's Sarah Barber. Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hi. I am playing Rizwan, a person who tries not to let the party die.
So far, so good. 100% success rate, right?
Yeah, shockingly.
Next up, it's Monty Ashley.
Hi, I'm Monty Ashley. You just heard my name mentioned by Tony Sindelar. And I'm playing Melek the Sorcerer, who has killed 6 creatures so far. In the fifth
wow,
edition.
Wow, that is... yeah, I guess the count is 6 to Melek, and I guess 1 to Olestra. So, and everybody else is present.
Monty, scale it back a little. You're making the rest of us look bad.
Yeah. Also joining us, it's Erica Ensign. Hi, Erica.
Hi, I play Flessa. She is a small human rogue who may have not taken killing blows, but I think she's responsible for the most bleeding so far.
Mm. Nice. Mm.
That's you're talking about your own blood, right? Not monster blood.
Well,
all
actually, both.
Above.
Oh,
both.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But total yep.
blood
output.
Tony.
Yeah, blood. It measured in gallons. You have generated the most of it. So
here, here.
Next up, it's Georgia Dow. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, I'm playing Acrid. I am a dragonborn fighter, and I love Bahamut.
It's true. And last but certainly not least, it's Jason Snell.
Hi there. I am playing Peter Dragonforge. He is a paladin who just loves Bahamut, even though Bahamut loves Acrid more. And he takes a lot of damage, but if you cut his friends, he will defend them.
Mm-hmm. And that is what has just happened. You have basically survived your first battle here in 5th edition in your return trip to Undermountain. You cross paths with some goblins who had camped out in this hall of 3 statues, and you took them down, their hobgoblin leader, and even their ferocious pet bear. And so you now have a moment to catch your breath.
To grab my vicious dagger off of this hobgoblin and rustle through his pockets.
I'm going to go look in the room that the goblins came from.
Yeah.
And who needs healing? There was a bear mauling that happened.
There was indeed a bear. I'm still down 8.
Before we set out into Undermountain this time, produced a whole pouch full of good berries. So if you would just like to eat 8 good berries and save yourself a hit die and not have to worry about a short rest...
Sure.
Enjoy.
How many good berries do you have?
I have 40 good berries because I have... Actually, I probably have more than that. I could have 60 good berries. Yeah, I got 60 good berries. Because I used up all my spell slots last night.
Are they individually wrapped? How is this? How are you transferring?
Oh, no. It's just a big old pouch full of good berries.
It's just a sack of them?
That's right. Sack of berries.
Sack of berries? I mean, I'm just wondering, the bottom ones are going to get all kind of I don't know, kind of marinated.
No,
those are the best ones.
They're very good.
I save those ones for myself.
They're going to be like the end of a burrito, a burrito stump by the end of the adventure.
So. Yeah.
When has anybody ever set aside the last part of the burrito because it was too burrito-y?
Never. Are you right?
All right. So, yeah, so 8 good berries for Flessa. Enjoy.
Flessa's got just the berry juice.
Berry juice all over
your mouth. Just crammed
and
a bullion
full. How much down are you, Akron?
I need 15.
I got 15 good berries with your name on it right here.
They're so tasty.
I just eat it like Cookie Monster.
Now, they apparently take 6 seconds to eat each one, so that's going to take...
So I'm still doing that. Just
that's like a very long time.
I won't continue with the sound
for
effects
an elf,
for
not for
else,
a, you know, a dragonborn.
Yeah, I think a dragonborn, I probably... It's
yeah,
like one
bigger jaw.
Per,
no,
so.
You gotta
yeah,
chew them. You gotta really, really? Savor them.
Do you have to chew them? Dragonborns, I think we just swallow. Just that's it. It's
yeah,
gone.
Your jaw just kind of dislodges like a snake eating a large egg. Yeah.
It takes 6 seconds for them to like properly dissolve in your stomach, so maybe you don't get the benefits right away. But
okay.
They're only efficacious for 24 hours, so if anybody else wants any, I got them.
Okay.
That is great.
I have a couple
have
different healing mechanisms too, but let's go through the berries first.
Yeah. All right. So you've healed. Flessa, you are rummaging through the pockets of this hobgoblin warlord.
I'm just assuming the bear has no pockets.
The bear is pocketless. The hobgoblin warlord, he has pockets. So he's got that going for him. And he has a coin purse on him. Ooh. Perhaps he is like the money holder for the group of goblins.
Bad news. It's just full of good berries.
Nope, it's got 71 gold pieces in it.
Oh.
Some of it in smaller denomination.
Money. Yeah. I throw it to Melek.
And it's the denominations and even the kind of minting of the coins is quite varied. It seems like perhaps this is stuff this hobgoblin has scavenged from various explorations here in Undermountain.
Now, a little peek behind the Dungeon Master curtain here, Tony. Did you write down 71 gold pieces when you produced this guy, or did you just roll that?
I just rolled two dice to generate that.
Well, that's no fun. So,
why?
I don't know. I just thought you had some specific reason for him having 71 gold pieces.
Do you think there's some numerology at work here? No.
It's possible. We just spent 10 minutes each touching a different statue that matches our race in the other room. So
our next puzzle is to figure out exactly what he's purchased, what he sold, gets him to exactly 71 gold pieces.
I'm just going to tell
you. CSI Undermountain.
There's a thing in Dungeons & Dragons where when the Dungeon Master needs a random number generated, and I have these little bits of plastic that generate random numbers.
Ooh.
That, here's a little peek behind the curtain, Steve.
Yeah.
A system that doesn't totally make sense. I rolled 2d12 and used, one number from each of those for the digits. So I did not roll 71.
So it could have easily been 17.
It could have been, but I just read them across on my desk.
All right, it's a good thing you kept track of which was which.
Wow. It could have been 1,212.
Yeah, it could have been, except it was unlikely to do that.
I spend a moment marveling at the fact that there's a bicentennial quarter in his pouch, and I'm sort of shocked that they're still in circulation at this point.
I love the little drummer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people on Earth are loving it. They're loving it. Rizman, what's in the other room?
I am super curious to find that out. What is the
Rizman,
other room?
The other room, there's like a side chamber to this hall of the three statues, and there's kind of like a little shrine set up here.
Why do they call it that?
Because it's got three statues
in
it. The little side chamber here is a shrine. It seems like the goblins were probably, that was their campsite in the other room, and perhaps they heard you coming and ducked over into this room, perhaps attempting to have a much more successful ambush than what actually happened. There's like a little shrine here with a nice little kind of reflecting pool and a little place that you could pray in front of it. And you know what? There's a nice... Another kind of, I don't know if this counts as a statue, there's a stone depiction of everybody's favorite dragon god, Bahamut, kind of looming over the pedestal. You, just to be clear, you see them all the time up outside Under Mountain. Like, they're on every block. They're like the Dunkin' Donuts of Waterdeep.
I am clinging to Bahamut.
That
like
is the
a little tiny baby koala.
And
that is the traditional way to pray to Bahamut.
Peter takes a knee and says a little prayer to Bahamut right in front of him.
Crispin takes a look in this pool.
It seems like it is probably actually sanctified at one point. So it's, you know, it's potable water, it's clean.
I take a sip.
It's not very deep. You know, it's probably only like 2 feet deep. It's a water feature more than there's no plant or fish in it or anything.
Is it delicious?
It's Bahamut water. Of course it is.
There's no shiny coins at the bottom.
It's cold and wet. There do not seem to be any coins. I don't. Is that a traditional Bahamut thing that you would throw coins into the pond and make a wish? Okay. Let's create a fictional religion inside this game.
Peter and Akrid would probably yell at me for stealing Bahamut coins anyway, so.
Does not seem like there's any sign that the goblins were engaged in
I'm just
any
gonna,
meaningful worship of
Bahamut. What are they doing in here, though?
Bahamut is a platinum dragon, so you would have to throw platinum pieces in there, which is why there aren't usually coins in a Bahamut fountain.
That's kind of offensive. Bahamut will take any kind of coinage. He doesn't only take platinum.
I'm going to sidle over to the side of the statue and see if there's like a latch or a hinges or a secret door or something behind it.
Sure, roll perception.
Because, like, just it just ends? Like, that doesn't seem very fun. That would be 16.
You do not see any kind of hatches or hinges or seams in this solemn temple of Bahamut.
All right, I will respectfully sidle away, I guess.
Okay. Having not sidle. Found anything to steal from Bahamut, you respectfully sidle away. Plaza.
Meanwhile, in the other room, Alestrin plucks out one of the bear's canine teeth and slides it into his pouch of good berries.
Oh, yeah, they pop out just like a Lego piece, right?
I hope somebody doesn't accidentally eat that when they're trying to heal themselves.
One of us is losing a tooth.
It's seasoning. Yeah, it's like putting a bay leaf in your stew, you know?
Wait, you're putting it in the same
now
pouch?
Good I only berries. Have so many pouches. Barely.
I just think you shouldn't put it in the pouch of things you eat.
No, it's good. It adds a certain bit of spice.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So you have investigated that? Other things you'd like to do here?
There was nothing in the water over there in the pond? Did anybody look in there?
No, didn't seem like
it. It was tasty.
Peter drinks some of the water and puts it on his face and says a prayer to Bahamut.
It's wet.
Thank you, Bahamut.
Classic water. Wet.
Can we go through a different door now?
Yep.
Guys?
Let's do it. Let's look down here.
I still want to know what the goblins were doing in here in this room where there's nothing for them.
Just hiding, I think, from us.
I think they were hiding, laying in wait in ambush. It seems like their campsite was active.
Well, let's turn it over. Let's turn over that campsite. Is there anything of value in there?
Give me a quick perception check.
And those dirty, small things.
Flessa has no problem digging through a bunch of filthy crap.
This feels gruesome to me.
I'm going to go 17. Listen at the door.
the stuff, so as previously described, you did not really make any assumptions about it, but the campsite is filthy and small, as if the people who were operating this campsite were slightly smaller than human and filthy, because they were, as we discovered, goblins. It's basically just all their personal belongings and the stuff that they would like sleep and carry with them. So there's a lot of handmade goblin knickknacks and a couple flasks of goblin wine, and there does not seem to be anything that would be traditionally considered of value.
It doesn't look like there was the hobgoblin also slept here.
He did. It does look like there is one big sleeping bag, but seems like he probably carried his valuable items with him on his person.
Can we go, or do you want to spit on their corpses a little?
Only if they're still burning.
I was listening at the door. Do I hear anything?
Malik, very, very judgmental for somebody who killed six of them. Rizwin, you are listening at the door. Can you
I just killed them.
Check?
Yeah. I rolled a 19.
19. It is quiet on the other side of the door. Hmm. Appropriately quiet.
I check for traps.
All right. Perception Ooh. Check.
Critical.
You feel pretty confident that there's probably not any traps here.
I open the door.
All right.
With the confidence of a guy who rolled a critical perception, I open the door.
This is the exciting stuff that Dungeons & Dragons is made of. Beyond the door is a short passageway and about 20 feet, another door.
Sweet.
Fun.
I'd like to look at the floor.
I go listen at that door.
Okay.
I was going to have Rizwin look at the ceiling. Oh, no.
We're in the second hour of the adventure. There's no time to look at floors and ceilings. Right. Rizwin rushes forward 20 feet despite the short hallway. What would it be used for other than traps? Well, turns out nothing. At least nothing that you were triggered by walking across it.
Right.
Rizwin, listen at the other door.
I rolled a 15.
All right. You hear at the other door You hear the sound of movement in the chamber beyond. Maybe kind of like a little scratching or scuffling kind of noise.
Guys, there's some scratching or scuffling over here.
I hope it's scuffling.
We wave everybody to come down, right? Come down.
Just all everybody crowd into this little murder hallway.
All right, or don't. Whatever.
Here I am.
Hey, no, I said do it. I said crowd in here. Just let's pack right
first,
in.
That's what the DM would say.
Open the door. Could somebody open it stealthily? And that should not be Peter Dragonforge.
Malik and Alestra, you're hanging back like 40 feet.
I can do that. I can be sneaky.
Okay.
Yeah, you do it. You do
as
it.
Usual.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
All right.
Akrid, could you come join the rest of us?
I recognize that everyone has left me, and I uncling myself to Bahamut slowly and try to put myself back together with my clothing and everything looking more neat.
Yep. Plus, what's your roll for stealth or whatever you're doing?
It wasn't great. I only got a 12.
All right.
These hinges are creaky.
These are creaky hinges. You peer open.
I whisper to Akrid, that's what I did my first year at Paladin School. That's all I did was cry at statues of Bahamut.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And the light from your dagger kind of illuminates the room beyond. It's kind of a large kind of cross-shaped chamber.
Oh, no.
And it is lousy with statues. Many stone faces
so evil.
Kind of look back at you from the light of your dagger. You see statues of, they all appear to be kind of full-scale models of a variety of creatures. They have that kind of adventurer look, you know, like too many pouches, basically. But there's a... You know, you see some elves and dwarves and humans and a tiefling. And there's three goblins kind of like just inside the door, statues of them.
Now, do these statues look very realistic, like someone's Medusa'd them? Or do these look like... Fair enough.
Like
I
more
also
cartoonish?
Had that question.
So where's the rustling? Where's the movement sound coming from?
Somewhere beyond. Somewhere in that chamber. There's a lot of statues here. So I put an assortment of statues on. You know, Akrid, you're looking at just the first one closest to the door. There's a goblin statue that just looks amazingly lifelike. And it's almost like they had seen those five goblins that Melek just killed because they really got like the outfits perfectly. This is fine statue craftsmanship is what I'm saying.
I look at everyone and I go like, ooh.
What say we go down the east or west hallway?
I want to know if any of them look like Rutherford Urmbrusk. From he's been described to us. We may have seen a picture.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And you know that Rutherford Urmbrusk is a male human, kind of a late teen, probably like 17 or 18. He's got curly black hair, though I guess it'd be hard to determine hair color in a statue. And he does have a distinctive shield with the House of Umbrusk logo or sigil on it. So you could, but you'd probably need to move in and kind of go statue by statue to check them for Rutherfordness.
I want to go look and see if any of the statues look like Rutherford.
Oh, no, 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 no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no.
Why?
No, freeze.
I'm not going to go.
There's probably a good
gotten permission.
There's probably a good 25 statues packed into this room.
Nope.
Fine. I close the door.
Later.
If I can't go in.
Later.
Slightly.
Yeah, I'm going to turn around and go back up the hallway.
Yeah.
All right. Flessa, you hear like a scratching coming from the door.
I was just going to say, I want to listen at the door.
Or scuffling.
You hear this is something like scratching on the door.
Like a little thing scratching at the door?
Roll perception to see how little.
Are these creepy like silent angels?
Three.
15.
It sounds like some kind of small animal scratching at the door, kind of at the bottom of the door.
How tight is the bottom of the door to the floor?
Pretty flush, fine dwarven craftsmanship.
Okay, so I can't, like, stab a dagger underneath there and see if I hit something?
I don't think so.
Darn.
You could look under it and see what kind of little feet they have.
I was told not to look.
That's true, that's a good point. It could be a Medusa rat.
You could peek. You could just peek through that door. Nothing bad happened to someone peeking through a door.
You know what? I'm not gonna look, and I'm not gonna use the dagger that has light cast on it. I'm just gonna kind of like turn to the north, open the door a little bit, and then just throw a basic dagger in there toward whichever direction I feel like the noise was coming from, and see what happens.
All right. Please mark down that you've thrown away one of your daggers.
That's fine.
Basic daggers.
I have so many. I've hidden daggers on many of my compatriots. They may not even know it.
There's a scuffling noise inside as if you have disturbed some kind of creature, and you hear a noise kind of echo through the little hallway.
Does that sound like anything I recognize?
Are you familiar with the concept of chickens?
Yes.
This sounds like a chicken.
Okay, well, I rolled a 1 on my dagger throwing, so I'm just going to close the door.
We're not going to take the chicken with us? Sorry.
I like fresh chickens. Eggs.
Can have a chicken.
All right. I close the door and I follow to the north. I think there's a chicken in there, you guys.
Chicken! I go back, open the door to get the chicken.
All right. If it's really unclear what we're doing today.
Today?
So you open the door. I got to keep opening and closing this door. And there is a chicken, a classic white feathered kind of, kind of ball-like chicken with a little red thing on its crest on its head and a yellow beak, two beady little black eyes, a little orange feet sticking out. And it's just looking at it. Looks, you know, it's a chicken, so it really has to look up at Akron.
I take some of my bread and put it on my hand to see if the chicken will come to me.
The chicken approaches you.
Awesome. I'm going to to gently pick up the chicken, and I'm going to be bringing the chicken with me everywhere.
All right.
I'm very
excited.
That's
going to make our stealth rolls fun.
Akron, as you, the chicken is kind of just picking away at the crumbs, and you're holding the chicken. I guess probably maybe you have it under like your arm, and you got bread in the other hand. The chicken is very seems happy about that. Several other chickens appear from around the statues.
Oh, no! I close the door. I close the door. I only need one chicken. I can't take care of all of you.
Well,
I'm
just going to point out, you've got a chicken in one hand and a piece of bread the chicken is eating in the other hand.
I dropped the bread and closed the door. I'm good with that.
All right.
I do keep the chicken, though. Now I wonder, though, about this deathly dead chicken. It's killer chicken.
All right, so you close the door. Unfortunately, by dropping the bread and putting the bread out of reach of the chicken is unhappy about this situation. Akrid, the chicken attacks you.
Oh, no!
The chicken has rolled a 13 to attack you, which I believe will not hit Akrid. But I'm gonna, I don't know what all of you want to do. I'm gonna roll initiative for the chickens.
I choke the chicken.
Oh, no!
You're not within range of the chicken.
Oh.
Just gonna roll.
I'm always within range of a chicken.
Is Rizwin sure this
it's
is a chicken?
It's on my character sheet.
Weird.
There might be reasons to think that it's not a chicken.
Can I roll something to see if I...
You can roll a nature check on your turn. The chicken has rolled a 13
I need to roll
people.
Initiative. Okay.
Please re-roll your initiatives.
What species of chicken is it, Tony?
It's a Lachenbelder.
Lachenbelder. Say Lachenbelder. People love it. It's
is
a running gag.
Is it a more tasty modern chicken?
We'll find out when someone rolls nature.
Is it... I think I, the player, know who what it is, but...
Yeah.
Wow, a lot of people got 19s.
Wow, a lot of... Wow.
No,
four of you got 19s?
What?
I mean, technically it doesn't matter because you're all going before the chickens, but you could theoretically fight about who has the higher modifier in terms of who goes first. I don't know what order Roll20 is seen, but I see Melek, Alestrin, Flessa, Peter, Acrid, Team Chicken, and then Reswin. So let's just Melek. You see into the hallway, Acrid is holding a chicken that has just attacked Acrid. You know that there are several other chickens beyond the closed set of doors.
So the doors are closed?
Yes.
Yeah, Acrid closed the door.
Oh. And Acrid likes this chicken.
I mean, the chicken did attack Acrid. Yeah, Acrid's feelings vis-a-vis chickens, I think, are to be determined.
Can you charm the chicken?
No. Acrid, do you want this chicken dead or what?
I don't.
Okay.
But that might not be the smart. Acrid is not the most of intelligent creatures. I'll just say that. But she is very attached to chickens.
I understand that, Acrid. And stop referring to yourself in the third person all the time.
That is also what she does.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold an action. If these doors open, I'm going to, let's say, firebolt whatever is on the other side.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Alestrin.
Yo! I'm going to shoot the chicken.
Okay.
Because a chicken just attacked one of my friends. And my friends aren't always smart enough to know when a chicken attacking them is a bad thing. So
it's nature. Alestrin's attacking it.
Also,
surprise!
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly nature impinging on the human world, which is not a thing that I'm into. So I'm going to take two shots at this damn chicken.
Human world. Those jerks.
Well, the people world. Yeah. It's the world
the
of
non-chicken world?
Non-chickens. That's a 27.
That'll hit good. A chicken.
Oh, God, where'd that 8 go? There it is. Oh, shoot. And it hasn't been an hour yet, has it? All right, I would like to have used my bonus action to make that chicken my quarry.
Yeah.
Just like old times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now we're hunting.
I'm just going to put a little quarry symbol on it so we know which chicken you
This is what I call podcasting.
Yeah.
All right, so... what do I got? With the quarry damage, that is 13 piercing damage.
All right. The chicken gives a chicken scream in pain. And is pretty badly hurt.
Okay. I'm going to follow that up with another shot then.
All right.
That's a 24.
That'll definitely hit a chicken.
And one of the nice things about Hunter's Mark is I get to use it on every attack, not just once per turn, so that's good. And that is 11 damage. Also piercing.
That chicken is badly hurt. There are two arrows sticking out of it. There's feathers everywhere on Acrid now.
Flessa is suddenly getting excited for lunch.
This is a surprisingly difficult chicken to kill.
I don't think it's a regular chicken, guys.
Alestrin, you all good?
You know what? Can I make a quick nature check to see if I can determine whether this is a natural chicken after I've already shot it twice?
Yeah, okay. That seems like the order that
shoot first, ask questions later.
That's only an 8, unfortunately. Because for some stupid reason, nature is intelligence in 5e instead of the wisdom that it used to be. So,
you know what? I'm going to say for Alestrin, you hate nature. Nothing seems unnatural about this chicken to you.
Just a tough chicken.
Yeah.
I want it dead regardless. I'm just curious.
Flessa, you were back. You're kind of in the just beyond the set of double doors looking at Acrid. You're standing next to Alestrin who's been firing arrows at this chicken.
I do this sometimes at parties. I shoot a chicken out of somebody's hand.
Everybody you don't get invited back a lot.
No, but the children dig it.
I mean, honestly, so far, everything completely checks out as far as Fless is concerned. Acrid wanted to befriend a chicken. Story checks out. Alestrin wanted to kill a chicken. Story checks out. I'm just going to stand here and let things play out. I don't care what's happening. It's a chicken.
All right.
Either way, at the end, we're having chicken tonight.
Yeah.
Peter Dragonforge.
I feel like chicken tonight.
You're pretty close to Akrid and the chicken that is not doing well. What do you want to pick a side in this fight?
I really am going to have to get some chicken for supper, though.
Jason seems legitimately stymied.
I walk up to Akrid and the chicken.
And Akrid, I imagine you're still kind of holding the chicken, but maybe at arm's length as it's trying to peck your arm.
I attempt to break its neck with my bare hands. I rolled a 25.
What did you roll?
A 25.
All right.
Chicken. That's four bludgeoning damage upon the chicken.
You murder a chicken.
I mean, it's going to still keep, like, you know, its legs are going to keep scratching
for a little while.
Jason Snell grew up
We
on
do
a
this
farm.
At home
Good
all
news.
The time.
There's already
Peter
two
says.
Arrows sticking out of either end, so we can spit roast it without much effort.
Yes.
Okay. Peter, anything else? You murdered one chicken. I don't know if that counts on your scoreboard as your first kill or not.
Peter slowly etches the chicken into the corner of his shield where he keeps track of his kills.
All right. Akrid, a lot has happened in the last 6 seconds. You picked up a chicken. You thought you were friends. The chicken attacked you. Several of your friends then attempt to murder the chicken, and one of them succeeded. There's a door that is closed. You know there are other chickens beyond that door. Each of those chickens bringing with it the potential of a unique and different Akrid chicken relationship.
And a lot of hit points, apparently.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Akrid.
Presumably, we could have learned a lot about why that chicken had so many hit points if you had talked to it instead of murdering it.
Talk to a chicken? Are you crazy?
Do we speak chicken? Is chicken a language? Because look, I had to take as my first thing that I did is when I was rolling this character, I had to make one type of creature my favorite enemy, and I chose beasts, of course, because it's Alestrin. But you're supposed to get a language with that. Beasts don't generally speak languages, but if chicken speak languages, I speak chicken.
I would say that these count as a beast. Does that make you happy?
Yes, but do they speak a language is the question. If there's a language that is chicken, I'm taking chicken as that language.
I think that there's, at this level, there's a lot about the culture of chickens that you don't know yet. that we can explore in future Dragon Fortune Associates adventure. Journey now to Chicken Spire Labyrinth. Technically, this is all on George's turn that we have interrupted. Akrid, there's a dead chicken in your hands. This is sad. I don't know what you want to do on your turn.
I go, why? Why? Lulu!
You already named it? No one told me you'd already named it. Now I feel bad.
I go, one more.
It attacked you, and I think that isn't a chicken. And
not
Peter
chicken?
Looks back at everybody like, is what is it?
Well, it's not a chicken anymore.
Now it's a chicken dinner.
That's Somebody right. look at the chicken.
Akrid, would you like to do anything other than mourn the death of Lulu on your turn?
I bring Lulu with me.
Oh, no.
All right.
Yeah, I'm carrying around Lulu.
Somebody look at Lulu. Right. That's not Flessa.
I think you're going to get salmonella or something if you carry around raw chicken.
I'm dragonborn. I think that's probably what we do anyways, right?
This is fresh. Yeah, this is fresh chicken.
Does it Very look fresh. Like my favorite creature, a chicken, to me?
Roll nature.
Six.
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. The chicken's turn is next. Akrid and Peter, there is a flurry of scratching and pecking on the other side of the door. It's kind of like a zombie movie, but it's going to take a lot longer for the chickens to break down that door.
And I turn to Melek and I say, do you have any more fireballs? Because I could really use some roast chicken right now.
Rizwin's turn.
But I prefer to hold on to it.
All right, okay.
I'm
roast this
really,
one.
Really Lulu. Curious to see if Rizwin's going to remember what this thing is.
Roll nature.
14?
I think is what.
13.
13?
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you that that is good enough. You know that this is a creature that is can appear somewhat chicken-like, but is very, very distinct from a chicken. You think
it's
a special... You think that this might be a cockatrice, or as it's known by its scientific name, Lochenvelder, which is the cockatrices, I think, come in a lot of varieties. Perhaps your less well-fed ones look kind of horrifying, but some of them look kind of chicken or dragon-like. And they are known, you would know, Rizwin, for, you know, if they had successfully pecked anyone, such as Acrid, there's the chance that you would be petrified.
Well, we're missing the important question here, which is, does it taste like chicken?
I don't know, Rizwin, does it taste like chicken, to your knowledge?
Yes.
Canon.
If you eat it, will you be petrified, or is it just a tasty snack?
It's not attacking you. If you're eating it,
you're attacking it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, don't
it might
don't
be from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rizwin, that's a free action or bonus action. You have identified that this is not a chicken, but a chicken-like monstrosity. What would you like to do with your turn?
You should probably tell Acrid, and then maybe she'll stop carrying it around.
I will mention that. Like that. Mm. That is a cockatrice.
Acrid does the little dog face where they tilt their head like, I don't understand what that means.
That's going to turn you into stone.
And I drop it.
Oh, there is the sound of Lulu hitting the cold floor of the dungeon.
Wet thud.
Oh.
There's a whole lot of people that got pecked in the next room.
Yes, there are.
They weren't careful people like us.
I can't. Does Sacred Flame require being able to see them?
Now, did any
you
of
can
the
see their feet too. Underneath the door?
No, I already checked.
Did anybody? Yeah. Did any of the chalk in the first room warn us about these little peckers?
Well, somebody said that somebody died this way, but no, there was no chicken specific.
Okay,
chalking.
I'm going to write
chicken chalking.
Warning: chicken there chalking. Are cockatrices in the room to the south. These are creatures that look like chickens, but will turn you to stone if they peck you. They're very cute.
Have a magical day.
Sacred
Signed,
Flame.
Melek. Have a magical day.
Yes. Right.
Creatures gain no advantage from cover for Sacred Flame.
I think you have to be able to see them, though.
Yeah, so they're all behind
but
the
I
door.
But I know they're there.
Yeah, but then you can only hit one at a time and the rest of them could all be pecking.
Could you just open the door enough so you could just eyeball them and then shoot from there?
You could.
Yeah, you could also get pecked in the eyeball.
It's a true statement.
They do fly, right?
I would suggest, I'll just try and help you out as a dungeon master here. There's probably the question of, do you want to deal with these four remaining cockatrices, or do you want to run away and leave them in their statue room?
Well, I mean, there is still the chance that one of those statues is Rutherford Urmbrusk.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a true chance. Statement.
Does anybody have a spell that would make the chickens look like a pile of birdseed and then they just peck each other into stone?
That's great.
Well, I mean, yes. I'd be curious to know, honestly.
You sure? Check your sheet. There's got to be something like that on there. That's classic
Georgia,
sorcerer.
Georgia did just drop a bunch of bread in there, and are they fighting over the bread?
They seem to be pretty actively pecking at the door to try and get to you all.
Okay, so they're smarter than that.
Is the door already made of stone?
No. The wooden door.
I'm bored. Let's go.
I would have thought they'd eat stone. Otherwise, what's the point of... What do they eat? Every time you peck something...
Monty, I think you're pointing out that the ecology of a lot of Dungeons & Dragons dungeons is a big question mark.
I sure am.
Yeah.
That is a true statement.
Can we go somewhere else, please? Please?
Sure.
Please?
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
We can come back
if we don't
need
find
to.
Them somewhere else. We can come back and check out this room again if you
is
want.
Is there like a bar that we can bar the door with?
It looks like it opens in. So
you know, you could probably the second set of doors there. Maybe you could wedge some of the goblin trash in a way to try and build a makeshift barricade.
I suggest that.
Okay.
I also pile up the burnt goblin bodies next to the door.
Oh God!
To make it look cool.
Should we let Peter and Acrid get out of there first?
Who was it exactly that was getting angry when we spit on them?
I decided you guys were right.
Wow. So I'm going to give, Akrid, we'll say you get out before I close up with barricades. Rizwin, I'm going to give you inspiration for identifying the not chickens yes. as cockatrices. So in 5th edition, inspiration is you get one little, if we were playing at a table, I would hand you a particularly shiny d20, a reroll that you can do at some point.
Sweet.
So it seems like you have sufficiently mapped the southern wing of this dungeon. There was a hall with three statues, and then a room with even more statues, because they weren't statues, they were people turned to stone by cockatrices. It's possible one of those people is Rutherford Urnbrusk, but it seems like you're leaving that as a possibility and not something you want to deal with right now. Is that...
Was there no door leading out of the southern part of the room full of statues, or was it just a self-contained room? Okay.
It was a self-contained room. It was the end
of the
thing.
I'll feel bad about leaving it then.
Who knows what secrets those four chickens will take with them to their chicken graves? And you've put a barricade of junk in front of a door so that both possibly to keep the chickens in and to keep other people out. So you're really making the world a better place is what it seems like.
Public service. That's our motto.
That's what we do.
Street team.
That and 10% off sandwiches.
That's right.
Maybe we should give Lulu to Smurgle. You make sandwiches out of it.
Mm.
I mean, I think there's a freshness question in terms of how long you want to carry
Does
that around.
Does Smurgle care?
Also,
yeah, there is no question of freshness at Smurgle's. Nothing there is fresh.
Hey, everybody's going to enjoy the sweet onion teriyaki cockatrice.
Yeah. Smurgle's eat moldy is their their motto. Oh.
Smurgle's, our freshness cannot be questioned. Do you mean unquestionable? That is not what we mean.
Not an endorsement.
No.
All right.
Hey, let's go down another hall, everybody.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I see some people have already moved all their tokens back to the Hall of Pillars. As you can decide, do you want to head to the east or to the west?
I heard there's shiny mirrors chickens. In that way.
Yeah, your choices so far, you've seen webby ruins or shiny hallway.
Shiny hallway. My point.
I'm going to wander over to the shiny hallway, personally.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
So, heading to the east, there is a long hallway, and as you head closer, Rizwin, you can see there are, to the left and right of you on the hall, there are these big floor-to-ceiling mirrors. Some of them are kind of slightly funhousey, as you see your reflection reflected back at you. But as you draw closer, some of the reflections seem like a little strange. Like they're not quite mirroring. They all seem to mirror your appearance, but not necessarily your actions. And some of the reflections, Rizwin, seem to be kind of laughing at you.
Flessa, if you put on a top hat, is your reflection also putting on that top hat?
Give me a top hat and Flessa. I will try it.
I don't have a top hat.
Rizwin spins around and goes like this, and the reflection just goes like this.
it doesn't appear that my adventurer's pack has a top hat in it, although I do
have reflection. Does my reflection also do jazz hands?
You know what? Instead of jazz hands, it kind of just flips you
off.
That's rude.
Smash it.
I would like to weave a top hat out of rope.
Oh, no.
You're fired. You could do that on a long rest.
Tony, he could knit one. He has knitting.
This is just mirrors on a wall. Why don't we just stride on past?
That is certainly a question.
Like, hey,
you first.
Weird mirrors, and then just continue on.
I don't care what the reflections are doing.
I use thaumaturgy to make it seem like there is a top hat. On Flessa.
Is that what thaumaturgy is capable of?
Thaumaturgy is capable of manifesting a minor wonder, a sign of supernatural power within range.
So it's a magician's
hat. Right.
God knows a top hat is a minor wonder.
Yeah. I mean a top hat is basically like it's like a prop for using magic.
It's
so.
A rabbit maybe.
All right, so Flessa.
It sticks around for a
yeah,
minute.
Yeah, Flessa, you know how
I strike a pose.
You have 1 minute of top hat. The your reflection also strikes a pose and then kind of starts laughing at you.
I appreciate the laughter. I kind of go, oh, thank you. Thank you. Does it have a top hat, though?
Yeah, it does have a top hat. Your reflection sticks out its tongue.
I hit the mirror. I giggle at it
and clap. I wave.
You hit the mirror. Obviously the mirror is also reflecting you as you hit it with your hammer, Rizwin, and the mirror shatters, you have a sudden pain in your head as you take...
Oh, dear.
10 psychic damage.
Ouch.
Do I also take damage because I was looking at myself in the mirror, or was I looking in a different mirror?
You were looking in the same mirror, but you do not take damage.
Okay.
All right.
I'm slightly sad because I liked the other me that was laughing at me. Laughing's good. Laughing is a positive thing.
That hurt. Don't do that.
Okay. I don't think I could smash a mirror with a dagger anyway. So, should we just go?
Yeah.
I start walking past the mirrors.
All right. Looks like Akrid, Rizwin, Flessa, all of you? Are all of you moving in?
I guess.
Eventually.
I'm probably, like, holding my head and, like, lagging behind a little bit.
Well, I'm just going to keep going until I'm told otherwise.
Are you hungover today, too?
You know... Not every day, okay?
Flessa, you march past the mirrors. Akrid follows. You see your reflections in the various mirrors. They're all seeming to, like, it's you, but it's, like, a version of you that's, like, upset at yourself. It's, like, jeering, and some of them are, like, flipping you off, and some are scowling, and some of them are making
weird
grimacing
that.
Faces.
I think that they're just making silly faces, and I enjoy every one of them.
There is an
I cheese it up, giving them finger guns, waving... acting like they're tearing me.
Yep.
They seem only further irate by that. Flessa, you reach the end of the hallway. There is a fancy set of double doors here. And specifically, built into each of the sides of the double door is a mirror itself. And you see your own reflection kind of marching toward the door as you you head toward the door yourself.
Neat. Is there a lock mechanism or anything?
There's just there's kind of an ornate handle in the middle of the door.
Can I open the door? I holler behind me. Anyone?
Anyone?
Bosses?
I'm busy taking a look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I will open the door.
You try and open the door, and it's like, you know, the knob turns, but it's like you're having a hard time... opening the door. Your reflection is also turning the knob and trying to open the door.
It doesn't seem to want to open. I try whatever I was doing.
It feels
kind of
like you're like...
I try pulling.
You know, and the version of your reflection is doing that also. It's like there's something like, you know, like the door feels like it should be moving, except you're kind of fighting against something.
Maybe you have to pull the door.
I
think the reflection is pulling the same direction you are, so the knob won't turn.
How do I... Please stop, I say to the mirror. I would like to open the door.
The reflection kind of like puts its hands on its hips and looks at you and that's it's you it's you think the reflection I don't know how good you are at reading lips. Flessa, seems like the reflection might have just said, please stop. I want to open the door to you.
Alestrin steps back into the room of pillars to see if there's anything about this in the chalk writings.
Brisbane goes back to Alestrin and asks for his good berries.
Oh, good choice.
Right.
You need 10.
I could actually
10
use 22.
Good berries. Wow.
22?
Because I didn't heal myself up from the fight.
Oh, you
and
didn't?
I forgot. No.
Did I not give you any? I guess I didn't. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can have them.
Yes.
I got plenty.
Tony, you said that.
Through those.
You said that Flessa's reflection put her hands on her hips.
Yeah, I was going to try to quick open the door.
Is Flessa's hand still on the door? Because now's the time. Just go.
Yeah.
Give me a quick, you know what? Acrobatics check. Or not acrobatics. Either stealth or dexterity.
All right.
Sleight of hand. Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, if it's sleight of hand, it's only a 14.
You know what? It turns out you are very fast, but so is your reflection, and your reflection immediately is, the doorknob is just rattling, but good. Your reflection is giving you a dirty look in the mirror.
Akrid closes her eyes and then tries to reach for the door handle and open it.
Akrid, you cannot see your reflection, but I don't think this is how reflections work. There's Akrid, with his eyes closed, kind of feeling around and feeling the handle, and then, like, both of you are tugging on the door.
Excellent. An important philosophical discovery. Reflections are there even when you don't see them.
Yeah. Someone's going to write to me about both physics and magic to complain
Akrid
about this.
Akrid peeks a little bit to see if she's been successful.
You see yourself peeking back. It looks like the door is pretty firmly where it was before.
I want to try again, like taking my hands off of the thing, putting them behind my back, and then really quick trying to grab for the doorknob again.
I like that you're basically playing like the slap game with yourself. All right. Just give me a straight up dexterity roll. I am also rolling for you. So just give me the number on the die.
Okay.
Erica.
16.
I have bad news. I rolled a critical.
Oh.
So the door opens from the other side then.
Yes, door opens.
The door, you know what? The door kind of creaks in a little bit, and then you grab it, and it's like it's firmly in the place.
Rats.
I have a question for my fellow party members. Mm. Is any of you a secret vampire?
No.
Oh. No.
Sadly, no.
We wouldn't be able to tell you if we were.
Well, you wouldn't have a reflection, see, and then you'd be able to open the door.
True,
but
true.
When I used my divine sense, I didn't detect any evil.
Okay, I've got a plan.
Did you use it on yourself?
60-foot radius.
Malik has a plan. Mm.
Did you do that in here, or did you do that to the south?
I did that when we entered in, but we were all in the radius, so I would have detected evil.
All right. I'm going to walk to the center here and say, nobody be alarmed, and cast darkness.
Ooh. Tell us about what magical darkness does.
Well, I am not alarmed.
Magical darkness spreads from a point you choose within range to fill a 15-foot radius sphere for the duration. It spreads around corners. A creature with dark vision can't see through this darkness, and non-magical light can't illuminate it.
I put my dagger in my pocket, because I'm sure
it's
still
suddenly
glowing.
Like none of you are holding any sources of light due to that magical darkness. You are just all immersed in inky blackness, correct, Malik?
Yeah.
Technically.
Is there...
Plus his dagger is...
Like... No, but I'm... As soon as I see what Malik is doing, I put it in a pocket.
It doesn't matter if you have something providing light. This overwhelms it.
Even if it's magical?
Yes.
Nice.
All right. I suspect there is a step B to this plan.
Yeah. Now I'm going to fumble my way to the east side and try to open the door at a time when there is no reflection. Huh?
All right. You open the door and it without, you know, you just, you only hear the sound of it, but you feel like the door opened without issue.
Then I will drop darkness.
Huh. Yeah. Nice.
Your reflection appears and closes the door.
Oh, man.
you see a bunch of reflections of all of the party scowling at you and just some of them are like kicking the dirt at their feet and being like, you're no fun. But yeah, the doors are open.
Nice.
The reflections of, we'll say, Melek and Akrid are closest to the door, are just kind of looking at them slightly confused. Would you like to proceed?
No, I would like to back up and let somebody else proceed.
Oh, yeah, I'll proceed.
All right. All right, Peter,
good job,
you Malik. Head.
High five.
Yeah, you head the way. Good job. This was basically, I designed kind of, I thought I would have basically a puzzle that I did not have a prescribed answer to, but that I figured would involve some use of magic or outwitting or otherwise tricking your illusions of yourself. So you had been, seems like as you all pass through, now that the doors are open, the demeanors of your reflections change a little bit. And so there's like eight versions of yourselves waving goodbye as you head through the doors.
Finger guns,
and down
wave.
The hallway.
I flip them off.
Oh no!
Blowing kisses.
Alastair has been replaced with the evil.
That's right. The roles have been reversed. Take that.
The mirror version of himself. So you head down the hallway, heading east. The hallway takes kind of a jag to the south, and then it looks like the area beyond looks like it perhaps has suffered some kind of cave-in at some point in the history of this dungeon. It's much more like a cavern as the hallway kind of opens up. It is much more roughly hewn. And is kind of, the floor is a little bit uneven. The ceiling and walls are very much more kind of a natural space than they are perfectly symmetrical 10-foot by 10-foot dungeon space. Peter, you're seeing it smells pretty musty. There's some there's the smell. You see, you know, some fungus and lichen growing on some of the walls. And the sound of there's dripping water up ahead as you kind of leave the more kind of manufactured dungeon area and head into a cave system.
Tony, is there anything over to the east here? Or is that just
there's
a wall?
There's not. The hallway takes a right turn. Yeah, okay. There's just a wall. All right, Flessa, Peter, and Rizwin, Peter, and Akrid are kind of leading the way, followed by Flessa, Melek, and Alestrin hanging back. The three of you are looking into this cave area here, and as you, I'm assuming you've all got your various light sources, there's a strange sight beyond. It seems like at some point this was a dungeon, but it has fallen on disrepair, and looking ahead, you sense movement. And you see kind of scuttle past your field of vision a large construct. So it looks like something made out of metal and stone, but vaguely looking like a scorpion. And it seems to be doing some kind of dragging rocks and kind of digging around in the earth ahead of you.
Shiny. Neat. Can I keep one?
No.
No?
Is it big enough for me to ride?
It is definitely big enough for you to ride.
I want one. Please.
Are there actually four of them?
There's at least four of them.
Flessa, notice the pointy thing at the end. You don't want that. Don't touch that.
Yes. These scorpion-looking constructs seem to have many legs, pincers, and kind of a strange tail with kind of like articulated foldy bits, and then, you know, a rather sharp business
end.
They're
just working. They're moving rocks around.
They seem to be moving kind of back and forth, very kind of linearly pacing back and forth, pushing rocks and dirt around. It looks like they're kind of trying to perhaps this slowly clear out this cavern and turn it into a passable.
Do they seem to care at all that we are there?
It does not. You have not gotten close to them, but they seem to not be reacting to your presence.
I think these are dungeon flippers. Cool. We need to kill them.
Hello, shiny things. But I want one.
Or we could just like figure out their pattern and kind of like zip
Akrid
around
got
them.
A chicken.
Yeah, and you saw how that ended.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Akrid had a chicken for 6 seconds. Let's be
honest. Akrid got like a lifetime.
Best 6 seconds of her life.
Yeah. That is like 7 years in chicken time. I'm not sure how you'll handle this.
I feel like we just ignore these guys.
They seem to be busy doing their little work as long as we don't get in their way.
Yeah, if we can avoid them.
Yeah, it seems
them.
Like it would be bad to get in their way.
They're digging a new dungeon or something. We need to come back in 100 years and it'll be cool.
Yeah, maybe you're just here too early. This dungeon's going to be sweet.
Is there a little sign out front that says, pardon our mess while we make this dungeon experience more exciting?
That's what that marking.
So
meant.
I try to move around them after I watch their macros. I try to move around them so that I don't interrupt.
Right. We're detecting their pattern. Flow.
That's right.
Akrid follow.
Akrid went first. Akrid, give me what kind of check do you think would be most useful here? It could be your perception of their movement. It could be your acrobatics to move past where they aren't. I'll let you decide what you think would be the most useful to kind of try and get past this first scorpion without getting in its way.
I would assume it would probably be perception.
All right.
20.
All right. You manage to you study its pattern carefully and manage to basically move when it's not anywhere near you. So you're a third of the way into the chamber. Flessa, you said you wanted to go next.
Yeah, I would probably just, like, I'm looking at what Acrid did, but I'm using acrobatics to try to mimic what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a 25.
All right, you nimbly kind of jump from place to place, avoiding the patrol of the scorpion construct.
I, like, basically just hop over its path, so it wouldn't see me anyway.
Excellent. Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Peter Dragonforge.
I'm going to try and use insight to think of when it's going to move or not move, and move when it's not looking at me.
Okay.
It's that or intimidation, which isn't going to work. 13.
You manage to avoid the ire of the scorpion and get over to where Flessa and Acrid are standing in the middle of the chamber. Who is next? I see Rizwin, Alestrin, and Melek waiting by the door.
Can I use my history check? Because I'm like, they already went.
History of robot scorpion.
The history of where they've been since they've been walking back and forth in the last 5 minutes.
I will tell you something. If you roll history, it may not help you move across the chamber.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Roll it. Make him tell. Make him tell you something.
Maybe it can tell me something anyway.
Hmm.
No, it doesn't.
Do you speak scorpion?
I did roll it, but I,
What does a 7 history check tell us, Tony?
Yeah.
You think that these are ancient constructs, and that they, were probably in service to, Halaster the Mad Mage, Halaster Blackcloak.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not sure what their function is other than he probably built them for some reason.
Okay. I'm gonna try to move past them using perception to make sure we don't run into them.
All right, roll it.
How about a 7? Does that count?
You think you're moving right at the right time, and you basically bump into the scorpion robot, and it lights up red and turns. All of the other scorpions seem to suddenly be aware of your presence in the chamber.
Oh, now.
Welp.
I'm going to suggest that you roll
initiative. Alert.
Okay.
I played Horizon Zero Dawn. There's a button you're supposed to push, and it shows you the...
What manner of creature are these four robotic scorpion monstrosities? How will they punish you for interfering in their diligent construction efforts as they work to make this a more engaging dungeon experience? Do they have an interesting history related to Halaster the Mad Mage that someone can figure out if they rolled higher than a 7? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.